When I'm not going down on Cessna, I'm listening to Default Radio.
Devoting the idea of God in the saints.
We code you and you're not charged for the dialing.
I'm sorry, sir. Operators cannot dial toll-free numbers.
I'm special.
Oh, you didn't say that. I'm sorry.
What's up, everybody? Decoder. Default Radio.
Oh, we're on the air?
Yeah, we're on the fucking air, bro. Yeah, it's fucking scary.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
I just got cut 2-1, and I'm like, what? I'm in the middle of a conversation here.
Yeah, I know, man. But anyway, yeah, that's Lucky 225 right there. This is fucking Default Radio. Episode 20-something. 23, baby. April 23rd, strangely enough, 2004. And today, right now, is the premiere on Rant Radio. So, of course, big shouts to them. I'm a little busy right here, though. Oh, yeah, by the way, we got a special guest this week. Why don't you introduce yourself, bro?
Hey, this is Rigel Five, and I'd just like, you know, to say thanks to Decoder and Lucky for including me on the premiere of the Rant Radio show.
No doubt. Rigel Five, repping Seattle, Washington.
Yep, live from the streets of Seattle, Washington. Right?
From the streets, from the top of the Space Needle.
So we have to limit this to an hour then. Today.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we can only go an hour. We got
hour rant.
Yeah, that's it, man. We go an hour today. But, you know, we got a lot of shit. We're going to fill it up, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully, Not Theory gets on here and we can take the fucking live call-ins. Not a comp. We're going to give you a number. You're going to call it. You're going to be on just like a normal fucking radio show.
He's out in Virginia or some shit today.
Hey, what are you trying to drop his docs, telling people where he is? Why don't you just give like the exact fucking
He left it on his away message, man.
So. Oh, okay. Well, yes, and fine. He's in Virginia today.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Default Radio. In case you don't know, the show is sometimes, occasionally, about telecommunications.
Yeah,
and
by default it is.
What happened?
By default, our show is about telecom.
Yeah, by default it's about that, but you know, usually it's not. It's about other dumb shit.
But as we try to promote, we like to change things from default. So sometimes we do that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to light up a cigarette, so.
Oh, God. Come on, man.
Come on, what? What the fuck are you, some sort of help nut? What the fuck is wrong with you, bro?
What are you doing lighting up a cigarette?
I want a fucking cigarette. You got a problem with that?
This message is sponsored to you by Philip Morris.
Yeah, right? Brown and Williamson. But, Lucky, I got, you know, something really weird happened today to me.
What's that?
Well, I tried to own you and drop your docs and call up your fucking packet 8 number.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and for some reason, it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck is going on with that?
Actually, it should work now, though I'm not getting, when I call it, it's just ringing. I'm not getting my answer machine.
I was getting a reorder.
Yeah, you would have been getting a reorder earlier.
Yeah, so what the fuck? What the fuck?
The reason behind this is, it all started 4/20, April 20th. I was having a little chat with Doug about Packet 8 and everything, and he was like, yeah, I used to log into my Packet 8 account and check it every day.
Yo, are you on a fucking cell phone, bro?
No, dude, I'm on a... Hold on. I'm going to get on a better phone for you.
Yeah, can you please get on a better phone? I don't know if the fucking internet
is
out there.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's much better, Lucky. Thank you. Hopefully now the people can fucking hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
No problem, bro.
Anyway, so I was having a little chat with Doug. He was talking about how he used to always log in his Packet 8 and check his call records and everything. I'm like, fuck that shit, man. I just let him bill me the $20 a month. Well, as it turned out, I logged in my Packet 8 account, and somehow between March and April, my account had been switched from Freedom Unlimited...
Which is unlimited calling for fucking $20 a month.
Yeah, unlimited long distance and everything for $20 a month. Somehow it was switched from that plan to Freedom Plus 1 year, which is some $5.95 a month plan that only allows you to call other Packet 8 users and includes no minutes for long distance calls. And my bill was running at $340.
So they just decided to switch you for no fucking reason.
Yeah, they just decided to switch me. I had no email confirmation. Now, as our listeners, our usual listeners know, in the past, they had done this once before. They switched me to a business account stating that I had high usage. Yeah, that was 6 months ago. They switched me to a business account saying that I had high usage. And, of course, again, without my consent, they switched me to this, and I bitched them out, you know, about their bait and switch practices. Well, so now they didn't even notify me that they had switched my plan.
They just fucking did it.
Yeah, they just did it. And so when I called up, the rep said there was no notes in the account about why it was switched and that I would have had to verbally call in and have them switch it to that, that there would have been no reason for that.
Well, maybe you're suffering from a case of amnesia and you just don't remember fucking verbally authorizing
yeah,
that.
Exactly right. Or maybe they don't verify their account holder information when people call in.
So you think somebody just called up and was like, yo, noob, I'm Lucky 225, change my fucking plan.
Possibly. Either that or I don't know what the hell
well,
is going on.
Your name is well known. Is this account under your name?
Yes, it is.
And your name is well known, man. I mean, all you got to do for anybody out there listening, you want Lucky's docs, just fucking Google. You know what I'm saying? That's about it. Google Lucky 225, you'll find them.
Yeah, yeah. And my whole family tree, but that's another story.
Well, I got your family tree, baby. I got it.
It should be noted, Lucky, that I recently did a Google search for Rigel 5, and I got 627 results.
Yeah, and Rigel hasn't even been on the internet for like the past 3 years. So you know what that means, right, Lucky?
In what?
Google fight, Rigel wins.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, bro.
Well, anyway, so... you know, my account got all fucked up.
So you're getting screwed and tattooed by 8x8, which is the parent company of Packet 8. And,
so I call up the guy, basically I called on Monday, actually. I left a real nasty voicemail on there because I was tired of them dicking me around. The guy calls my girlfriend the next morning. He doesn't ask who she is or what her name is.
He just starts talking to her about this.
He just starts talking to her about my account, never asked for her name or who she was. And, you know, he was just like, yeah, I need to speak to Lucky. And she's all like, well, he's not here right now. He's at work. And then he proceeds to demand from her my cell phone number or my work number. And she's like, you know, how the hell am I supposed to know that you're really Packet 8? Because this sounds like you're trying to social engineer me or some shit. You know, my girlfriend's not an idiot. So she was like, no, I'm not going to give you that information. Yeah, well, that's another story. Yeah. Anyway, so she's like, I'm not going to give you that information. And he's all like, well, he called and left me a nasty voicemail, and I'm looking at his account, and he's got a $300 balance. You know, mind you, he still doesn't know who he's talking to. It's just somebody that answered at my Packet 8 number. What if I was call forwarding that number to somewhere else, to a friend's house? Or what if my maid, who was in there just cleaning, happened to pick up the phone? And now, you know, my maid knows that I have a $300 balance.
You don't have a fucking maid, you goddamn idiot.
Well, I'm just saying I could.
Yeah,
the point is he doesn't know who he's talking to, and he's divulging information about my personal account.
Yeah, well, this is what we've been saying for fucking months, man. This is what we've been saying. Yeah, Packet 8's a good deal, $20 a month, but they're fucking screwed in the head. All right.
Yeah,
they got
very unethical business practices, and I will not endorse them anymore.
Yeah, we
I fixed I fixed my account. I spoke with them. They still can't seem to get it through their head that unlimited means unlimited. They go, well, our business plans start at 4,000 minutes a month, so if we see anything over that, we assume it's business. I'm like, well, assumption is the mother of all fuck-ups, baby, and unlimited means unlimited. I only use that account for residential. You gotta understand that those minutes also include incoming calls that I take and local calls, local outgoing calls that I make. And I make a high amount of long-distance calls, which is why I opted for the service.
There's nothing in their terms of service, you know what I'm saying, about what unlimited fucking means. They use the word unlimited. There's no fucking asterisk next to it, you know what I'm saying? So that's it. It means unlimited. Look it up in the goddamn dictionary. It means what it means. Un-fucking-limited. It means that you could make as many calls as you want for however fucking long you want. That's what unlimited means.
Well, I'm not endorsing them, and I'm glad that we're on Rant Radio today, so everyone else can just say, fuck Packet8. Just go fuck them in the ass, because that's what they're going to do to you if you sign up.
That's it. It's going to happen.
I'm canceling that shit today. I swear, I'm probably going to use a number portability and port it over to Vonage.
Yeah, port the number to Vonage. At least, see, Vonage has more money. They don't have as many fucking cool things, but you know fucking what? I think they're more of a...
They're more of a business. They're like a legitimate company. They're like the Verizon of voiceover IP.
Now, what happens?
Well, I must say, RBCP has been using Vonage for well over a year now, and he hasn't encountered a single problem with
RBCP, in case people don't know, from phonelosers.org.
Right, you know, I mean, he hasn't encountered a single problem with him, and that's the only guy I really know who's been abusing the Vonage service.
Yeah, and I'm sure he abuses it, most definitely.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and I got into a real discussion with their collections department over there at Packet8, and they were like, well, our policy is 7,000 minutes or more. We offer you, you can either switch to business or you can discontinue your service.
That's not unlimited.
Yeah, that's what I told them. I'm like, well, you know what? That's false advertising. I don't care what your policy is.
Yeah, who gives a shit what their policy is? They say, why don't they just say 7,000 minutes? I mean,
yeah,
like, there's a big difference between unlimited and 7,000 minutes. But I don't even want to get into that. And as far as Vonage, they've had their history with fucking Default Radio as well. Not as bad as Packet8, mind you.
Yeah, they've had some history too. But I mean, yeah, you lose out. You don't get to make calls from out of area. Like Packet8 gives an anti-fail. That's about the only benefit, though.
Yeah, you get a straight anti-fail, real time fucking caller ID. Everything's just not there.
Just nothing. But on Packet8, you know, you can block your caller ID and it'll show some 646 number.
You mean on Vonage, you block your caller ID and you get a 646
number.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, Vonage is really easy to social engineer.
Well, Packet8 is easier, let me tell you.
Okay,
yeah,
like, I know with Vonage, you just call up and be like, hey, my brother, blah, 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 I need his phone number.
Yeah, but Rigel, what you're failing to mention is that most telcos are fairly easy to social engineer, whether it be a wireless provider or a copper provider. Come on.
Right. Right. Well,
yeah, actually, I just social engineered Pac Bell today to confirm an address.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's easy. Telcos, everybody's easy to social engineer. That's not a big deal. If you're on point, if you know what you're doing, there's tricks of the trade. You know what I'm saying? That's about it. And as far as, I'm not even going to get into that. So, yeah, Packet8's fucking you around, Lucky. That's the moral of the fucking story. I want to move on to other things, though. Other things. You know, I got a few emails, actually. I want to get into this. I got a couple of emails from Havoc with some pretty interesting articles. I hope I get to them, which I'm not going to do right now. But I want to talk about this. I got an email from Twirls a while back. And pretty much he sent me a list of phone numbers and addresses for all the different churches of Scientology all over the U.S., right? And it was pretty lead. I didn't release any of this information. I got to send him an email and ask what he wants to do with this, because this could easily be a pretty nice text file. But I've been using it for, let's just say, personal purposes, you know. I haven't done anything on the show with this shit. I haven't divulged any information. Well, he sent me another email this week. And this is not churches, but these are actual people who are members of the Church of Scientology. And it's a list. Almost all of them are in New York, except for two, one in Connecticut and one in Mesa, Arizona, which, according to Rigel, Rigel seems to know something about Scientology as, like, a stronghold in Mesa, Arizona, apparently.
Well, it's Mormons and Scientologists. And the Scientologists aren't the forefront, it's mostly Mormons, but...
very odd, but he sent me this I don't know if we should call any of these people. I don't know. What do you guys want to do with this? I could give out some information for anybody who wants to bother these people. Let me just grab one. Let me look.
We're going to pick on one person.
Yeah, we're going to pick on one person, and that person's going to be Junior Ash. And his address, 1434 East 89th Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11236-5124. And his phone number is going to be 718-531-2675. We're not going to call him. We're just picking him out of the sky. And that's him. He's some Scientologist.
I'm sure his phone's ringing right now.
I hope it is. Just tell him, just be like, what's the deal with this Scientology? Isn't this just like maybe a bastardization of pre-existing theories? I mean, Roger, you know about Scientology.
Yeah.
It's just, these are theories that were around thousands of years ago. But the difference is, like, they made a little more sense then than fucking L. Ron Hubbard makes it out to be.
Right, well, welcome to modern-day religion.
Yeah.
We could do it easily now.
The guy's a science fiction writer. I mean, I don't even want to get into this. Fine. So all these celebrities and they're all these Scientologists. Good for them. Fuck them. John Travolta and who else is a Scientologist? Tom Cruise?
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, fuck these people. Fuck them and their goddamn bullshit religions.
Moving clouds with their mind. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, what the fuck, man? This is shit that's been around for thousands of years, and all of a sudden fucking L. Ron Hubbard decides to, this looks pretty cool. Let me fucking make it really stupid. And then people buy it. So do some research on some Scientology and then check out some, I don't know, what do you suggest for pre-existing shit relating to this kind of like a Scientology story? What do you suggest, Roger? What about just the fucking Sumerians, man? What about them?
Yeah, well, the Sumerians are, if we're going to get to history, Sumerians are effectively where our modern-day culture came from.
Well, that's the birth of fucking, they were doing everything, man, that we're doing today.
They beat the Chinese by about 300 years in terms of inventing agriculture. They were the first people to ever use a signature. They were the first people to have banks.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it's at, bro.
The Jews randomly appeared there at the same time.
Yeah, which in case you don't know, Samaria is where is the land between the Tigris and the Euphrates, where Iraq is today.
Yeah. It's quite interesting that we're going to war over effectively the same area that is where our civilization began.
Yeah, it's really odd.
It's quite trippy. And people just—I don't think people will really understand that ramification.
No, they don't.
I mean, regardless of whatever reasons we have for going to war, be it terrorism, oil, I could care less. The point is that we are invading the birthplace of civilization.
Of modern civilization in historic terms. We don't know what happened before that. But yeah, so we got Scientologist numbers. I might give out one more. Joe Cruz from the Bronx, 805 East 156th Street, Bronx, New York, 104551713. His phone number is 718-861-8398. Joe Cruz, give him a call. Let him know that his shit's fucking thousands of years old and this is just a bastardization of what came before. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, enough of that.
Enough of that shit.
I also got an email from Gray Area, and I don't really want to – I don't know, man. I think this should definitely be a text file. Gray Area pretty much figured out a way to trace private callers. Okay. It has to do with.
What do you mean with Flex Annie?
Yeah, it has to do with social engineering, the police, and the telephone company. And instead of having the telephone company send the police information, getting the information yourself from the telephone company, posing as like the police or something. It's really it's in depth. I don't know if I should get too into it. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to read the entire article. This is going to be like a fucking voice text file. This is from Gray Area. This is the guy, by the way, who found all the DATU/SAS units in fucking Arizona when everybody told him they didn't exist. He fucking found them. And he's got a whole fucking list of them, man. That's the dude who found them. Now, you might see text files from other people about that, but Gray Area is the dude that found the shit. So I give him a lot of props, you know what I'm saying? But, basically, I'm just going to read a text file, I suppose. After doing a bit of research, I realized a way to do this with T-Mobile and have not tried with other carriers, but it's not that easy. There are some steps you'll have to complete first. After doing so, you'll be able to do this right away. And, of course, what he's talking about is tracing private callers. First, call yourself from a payphone just in case something goes wrong. Then call T-Mobile, the backdoor number being 1-877-606-4801. Say to the CSR, which is the customer service representative, that you had a death threat and you need to trace a call. They will then tell you to call your local police. You say, aren't I supposed to give them a certain fax number? And what do they need to fax over? Then the CSR says they need to fax a signed letterhead from a supervisor and the time and date in question. Then they check for the number and give it to you. Fax that he gives out is 813-753-6545. After obtaining the fax, you take your ass over to efax.com and set up an efax number. Or you could just use, what the fuck is it, k7.net. That's another one, K and then the number 7. You get yourself a fax number. All right. Oh, look at this. But efax, see, I should have read on. Efax is cool because you can get one in the same exchange as this number, 813-753-XXXX. I, however, didn't go that far. I chose not to pay. You can get a free one or even go as far as setting up a fax server, but I'm not talking about that, okay? Now, you call your local police and you say, hello, I had a person call me and they sounded black and they said my name and they were going to slice my throat. I don't know who it is. And I call my service provider. They said I need a local police officer to send a signed letterhead from their supervisor and the time and date in question to this number, the one you made on efax.com. Can you please help me? I'm really worried about this. Now, notice what just happened. I had to tell them a real person called me and that they said my name and the threat. Otherwise, they won't do shit. Now, wait for the fax. After you get it, you can send it to wherever you want. It takes a little work, but it does work. And he says, no one try this. This is info like on TV. I'm not responsible for noobs by gray area. No, basically, he's pretty much telling you to forge the letterhead from the police department and give them the fucking your e-fax number and have the telco fucking fax the shit straight to you.
Oh, man.
That's pretty nice, man. You think it will work?
Yeah, yeah. It probably would.
It works for him.
I want to know.
That's how you used to steal domain names.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's pretty fucking lead. So I give a lot of fucking props to Gray Area. That's pretty sick, man.
I would not endorse that, though. I think there's easier ways of tracing credit.
Well, perhaps might be easier ways, and this might fall under. See, here's my little disclaimer. What Gray Area had just described in that email or text file or whatever you want to call it is impersonating a police officer, which is it's a felony, and it carries a hefty, hefty prison term. So unless you're down to spend 5 years fucking behind a wall, you know what I'm saying? You may not want to do that, but as far as an example of practical, you know, social engineering, it sounds like it will work.
Well, that's an interesting segue into what I had to talk about today.
All right, well, go right ahead.
You know, and this is not necessarily a positive story. Kind of sad. Some people who might keep on the news a little bit more might remember a case where a man by the name of Paul Timmons.
Telcodata.us.
Yeah, and another man by the name of Adam W. Buttbile.
And these people were known respectively by their handles of No Web For You
and it's Zero.
Yeah, It's Zero, yeah.
Right. Yeah, quite the elite guys.
Oh, anyway, yeah.
Let's see. Let me go through here the indictment and pull out the dates that I really want.
Yeah, you know what's really funny is that Rigel 5 has the indictment there in front of him.
Yeah.
And we're not
going
to say where we got that.
No, well, it's public information. It's a court-filed...
No, well, goddamn it. I just wanted to sound leak for a second there.
You know, originally... all right, here's, like, the indictment. In or about... Stupid court. April of 2003, defendants Buttbile and Timmons gained unauthorized access to the computer system at the Lowe's retail store, number 1604, located at blah, 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 Southfield, Michigan.
All right, let me just say what they were doing, pretty much. In a nutshell, these guys were war-sitting in the parking lot of a Lowe's home improvement store, okay, trying to, I don't know whether their plan was specifically to get the fucking credit cards. Oh, not theory.
Yo, what's up?
All right, yo, what's going down?
Not much.
All right, we're in the middle of a story here about Paul Timmons.
All right, well, I'm going to have to drop in a bit and fucking get into this bullshit. Oh, God, I hate everything. Just go on with the story.
You sure?
Yeah, everything sucks, man. Virginia sucks. Never go to Virginia.
All right.
All right, but like I was saying, fucking, so these guys were war-sitting in a Lowe's home improvement store. Pretty much whatever they were doing, they ended up getting some credit cards. They went back there. I don't know, was it like every day, Rigel?
Well, you know, I got like dates here. They say that around October 2003, the defendant, Buttbile, and my man, Brian Salcido,
also known as
FDR, although it's not in the indictment.
Yeah.
And I, you know, respect to this guy. You know, I don't mean to be dropping his docs, but on the same token, like, he's...
It's in the indictment, bro.
It's in the indictment, and it's public domain. You know, they say around October 2003 is when Bob and Salcido supposedly formulated a scheme to steal account information from the Lowe's corporate computer
system. Wait, now it's a scheme?
Oh, it's a scheme. In order to aid, albeit assist, and advance the scheme, Defendant Timmon supplied defendants Botvile and Salcido with the wireless computer card the defendants Timmon had previously used to gain unauthorized access. Like, essentially what's happening here is that, and just like so everyone knows, when all this stuff went down, basically the beginning of this year, late last year, the FBI found Timmon and Botvile camped out at the Lowe's on the hood of their Pontiac, like Grand Prix or whatever.
Yeah, so pretty much these guys... We're not only returning to the scene of the crime, not every day, but quite often, which, I mean, you're obviously not a criminal if you don't know that one major tenet of crime is to return to the scene of it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And these guys were not just there, like, fucking trying to be low-key. They're fucking sitting on top of their car, waving their fucking dicks around, saying, fear me, I'm a fucking hacker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Essentially, that's what they were doing.
And interestingly enough, what happened here is... The FBI followed Botvile and Timmons home. The indictment doesn't say this. But they followed them home and arrested them that day, or the day after.
Yeah.
They followed them home on a Friday and arrested them Saturday morning. Within 2 days, there was a warrant out for Salcido's arrest. Basically meaning that these guys swung like birds. And in fact...
Yeah, they dropped a dime on fucking XDR, man. They dropped a dime on them.
Right. And basically, like, if you look through the case... the case has actually been effectively named United States of America versus Brian Salcido. And Adam Botvile and Paul G. Timmons are known as the co-defendants. And looks like Timmons is probably going to be exonerated in conjunction with his testimony against Brian Salcido. And Adam Botvile, despite that Adam Botvile and Paul G. Timmons were the actual two perpetrators caught.
Yeah, they were doing it, and they dropped a dime on somebody, and now it looks like they're going to fucking get away with it.
Right, it looks like from the indictment and from what I can ascertain...
And what did Salcido do? What did he do? He gave them the wireless card? Is that it?
No. Timmons supposedly supplied the wireless card. Effectively, what it looks like what Salcido did. Salcido modified a program that Lowe's was using called TCP Credit. And he modified that program in such a way that it would report the authorizations elsewhere. So it would send it back to the Lowe's personal computer or whatever.
Yeah.
And it would also, like, you know, email them. Like, anytime anyone's credit card got validated. So, effectively, what happened here is that, as far as I can tell, XDR was known in the scene, in the Detroit area, as being probably one of the most skilled individuals in that scene. You know, you can find his handle in numerous different software packages that involved intrusion detection.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's shouted out all over the place. But he's absolutely a genius. So, these guys basically asked him to modify source code that they had found on the server. Because they had gained access to a computer known as Dev1, at least in terms of the Lowe's corporate network.
Yeah.
And apparently on Dev1, they found all the source code that Lowe's was using for the proprietary software. So they gave the source code to Brian.
And Salcido, all he did was modify this shit, give it back to him, and he's the United States of fuck America versus Brian Salcido.
Right. And it should be noted that he's currently facing up to 170 years in jail.
Yeah.
You know, and it also should be noted that he was one of the first victims, well, not really the first victim, but he's yet another victim of the United States Patriot Act, in that he has a state-level conviction for computer crimes. Another complete and utter bullshit story, where he gained access to a free shell provider in Michigan and set up a meeting with people at Landit so that he could help them fix the problems that they were having. Because he was like, you know, you guys provide a cool service, I gained access really easily. I would really like you guys to, you know, be more secure because you guys are pretty cool. Well, when he showed up at the meeting, it was just the Michigan State Police, and they arrested him on the spot, pretty much. You know, and
that's why. Let me tell you, I'm going to throw in something right here. Don't try to be white hat.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, like, as much of an ethical argument as people can give me against that, a fucking real world reality argument is that if you're going to fucking go around like that, thinking you're fucking white hat. Saying, oh, let me help you out. Your shit is insecure. I'm only here to help you. I'm just trying to look out for you. You're going to go fucking down, and you're going to go fucking down hard. You're better off just fucking looking at that, laughing at them because they don't know how to set their shit up correctly, and fucking calling it a day and walking away from it. Don't make it your business. You don't have any. You don't have anything to gain by fucking telling them to fix that shit. You only have something to lose. So
absolutely, because this is what fucking Brian Salcido did. And you know, it's as a result of the Patriot Act, his state level conviction counts as a federal conviction in terms of sentencing guidelines.
Exactly.
So when this goes to sentencing, and Brian has an order of they're postponing the trial. Originally, it was supposed to be about 7 days ago, but they're postponing it to July 19th. But, you know, he's about facing 16 counts of all this kind of stuff, and it's all about conspiracy too. You're oftentimes better off not talking to anyone about what you do.
Yeah, no shit.
Dude, we shut the fuck up about it. I'll be back in like 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, later.
But effectively, Paul Timmons is a pretty hardcore narc or rat. And,
yeah, so because of fucking Timmons and his website, talcodata.us, in case you didn't know, it looks like fucking Salcido is facing 170 years in a federal penitentiary.
For computer fraud.
For modifying source code and hooking these guys up, who then turned around and fucking dropped the dime on them.
Right, and some of the docs that I don't have printed out, but I have elsewhere, suggest that... Timmons' deal is that he's still going to be facing this indictment until he testifies against them in court. So he basically has until July 19th to really kind of come up with his testimony and either admit his own guilt, or which I think is quite unlikely, or he's just going to take XDR down. And the thing about XDR is he's been on the radar for a while. I mean, the government in general has wanted to get rid of him, and I hate to sound like one of those people who says that. But the current governor of Michigan is basically the reason he didn't get bail. She was part of the crew that busted him originally. You know, this is definitely a witch hunt against him. And as far as I can tell, they only went after these. I mean, they went after these kids anyway. But I think when they were interrogating them, they definitely were trying to get his information out. Like,
you think that fucking XDR maybe didn't even do this?
I think he probably did. This would have seemed like something that he would have potentially done. It seems hard for me to believe that he would have associated himself with such total idiots such as
well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the feds tried to get them to just call whoever out they wanted to, you know?
Yeah. And it also should be noted that on a number of the legal forms that Timmons was required to submit, like, he fucked him up real bad.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. Like, every box is checked in and then crossed out. I mean, this guy isn't, like, the smartest fucking, he's not the smartest guy in your block, pretty much.
No, he's one of those people that's really easy for me to resent, because he has, like, a $38,000 a year job. He comes from wealthy parents.
Yep.
Whereas, Brian Salcido works as a pizza cook. He lives in his, like, parents' trailer. You know, like, he doesn't have enough money. He had to sell all his amateur radio gear so he could eat.
Sounds a lot like Terabyte.
Right, and it's such a load of shit that, like, this, like, rich kid who has everything, who got caught, mind you. Like, I mean...
Like a moron, fucking sitting on his fucking hood.
Right. Well, you might as well go around posting up flyers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what the fuck?
You know, and it's just really tragic. And, I understand the hack freak scene has always been about ratting people out. And, you know, I mean, cause, like, what's the worst-case scenario? You're not going to be able to have a phone for a couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck?
You should probably cancel your credit cards right now. But, you know, and it's just one of these things. It's just really unfortunate that such a brilliant... young man such as XDR is going to go down for basically the stupidity of two other people. And whether or not he actually had anything to do with it, you know, that's what the courts to decide. And I don't doubt that he did. But, you know, it wasn't like he came up with the idea. Like, the indictment clearly states that he was approached by Adam.
To modify some source code, which is all he did.
Right, effectively. And, like, there's really no evidence. The indictment suggests that he was there all the time. But,
Except for when they got busted?
Right. Well, see, what an indictment that everyone has to understand. The indictment is not an actual factual statement. The indictment is basically what they think happened.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And despite the fact that one of the final charges, or one of the final counts on the indictment, is the night they got busted. And they claimed that Salcido was there, despite the fact that the FBI claimed that he wasn't. You know, I mean, the FBI's own surveillance didn't see him there. So it's very unlikely that he was ever there at that physical location ever.
Yeah, most likely he wasn't.
Definitely he wasn't there with these two retards sitting on the hood of their car with... I believe the FBI said they had wireless antennae protruding from the car.
Fuck you. Goddamn idiots.
Right, you know, and...
snarfing credit cards.
Right.
In that manner.
So we're not going to get into it, but there are many easier, less technical ways of getting credit cards. I prefer the foot door method.
There's a million ways to get fucking credit cards that are a lot easier.
Right, like go to your local restaurant. Like, get a job.
Dude, the last time I was in CompUSA, fucking a friend of mine was buying a floppy drive for unknown fucking reasons. Don't even ask me why. It broke about a week later. But anyway, he was buying a floppy drive. And we get it to the counter, and there literally is a printed-out receipt right there on the counter, not on the employee side, but literally right there on the customer side, right there in front of me.
The merchant
It
was the merchant receipt.
Yeah, it was a merchant receipt with an American Express number on it. The thing was upside down. I looked down on it. It was not backwards, mind you, upside down. So I was reading it upside down. I sat there. I looked at the Amex number, read it upside down, read the fucking date upside down, memorized that shit, got to the car, wrote it fucking down. There's a credit card for you. I'm not fucking sitting on the hood of my car. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm looking at something they gave me. CompUSA gave me that card. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to do shit. Did I ever use it? Of course not. You know what I'm saying? But just the simple fact that it's sitting there. And I've heard there's a million stories like that. A million stories just like that where you could just find credit cards. It's not a big deal.
No. And, you know, and another thing, too, is Timmons and Botbile effectively turned themselves in. Salcido, on the other hand, I have the signature of a U.S. Marshal agent who served the warrant upon him. I'm sorry that the FBI did show up at Timmons and Botwell, because they were living together. Like, I mean, you couldn't get any more gay. But, I mean, it's zero and no web for you, like, together in bed. But,
God.
Yeah, they, you know, this is, another thing, too, that's really great is these guys were, you know, in the Detroit scene, Detroit, Michigan, obviously, and the trial's being taken place in North Carolina. Well, Timmons and Botwell got out on bail, whereas XDR was denied bail. He's currently rotting in a detention center somewhere in North Carolina in the Western District.
This is fucking completely ridiculous. I think I don't really endorse this kind of thing, but if someone has the idea in their head where they want to go pay, as you said, Roger, this is all public domain. I mean, you can get these guys' addresses fairly easily. If anybody wants to, I don't know, just take it upon themselves to go administer an ass-kicking, go right ahead.
Yeah, actually, it should be noted that Timmons docs have actually been dropped on the DDP forum.
Oh, yes. If you do a simple search of the DDP forums at binrev.com, you're going to see Timmons' full docs.
Yeah,
you'll
find the rat. Yeah, he's definitely the rat in this situation.
Yeah, most definitely. So, like I said, I'm not endorsing that you go give him a fucking beating, but I'm going to laugh at it after you do it. So make sure you remember that.
Yeah. You know, trophies and photos would be pleasurable.
Oh, yeah, photos, yes. Photographic evidence is always fucking good.
You can get some of his teeth. That would be nice, too.
If you can, yeah, if you can mail me a few teeth,
yeah,
that'd be awesome. P.O. Box 1111, Guasti, California, 91743. We're looking for teeth. I'm going to make a necklace out of them.
Yeah, and I'll be the one that's picking that up. So.
Yeah, that's Lucky Susu 5's address. That's where he lives.
Yeah, and I'll be getting those teeth sent into forensics, too.
Yeah, right.
Oh, verifiable evidence.
Yeah, was not Theory back yet, man? Because it's 20 to 11. I want to take some calls.
I was going to try and call our special guest here for a second. So if you guys want to talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, try to get our special guest on here. I'd really love for Not Theory to get back because I want to take some calls.
Yeah, we only got 20 minutes left.
We only got
even mentioned anything about that other project.
Oh, phonebook.org, right?
Yeah, phonebook.org.
F-O-N-E, book.
Yeah, Rios and I are starting up this kind of independent phone book, if you will. We have some ideas. It's not off the ground yet. I haven't, like, as previously mentioned on this show, I haven't had internet connection in, like, you know, 12 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I should have it next week. I'm kind of looking forward to that. But we're going to be writing a number of web spiders to go out and grab numbers off the internet. You know, there are a number of databases out there, eBay, Craigslist, that have names, phone numbers, associated with them.
Yeah, most definitely.
And we're just pretty much going to go out and get every phone number we can find. And, you know, I definitely have a handful of scams that I'm going to be contributing right up front. And, you know, our whole concept here is that it's going to be a totally open phone book. There's not going to be any type of restrictions on the entries. So, you know, we'll probably be the first people out there with a usable cell phone lookup.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
You know,
I hope people submit to that shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, cause a lot of people post their cell phone numbers online, a lot more so than people post their home phone numbers.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You can't really look up people's cell phone numbers in any sort of, like, reliable database right now. But people love to just drop their cell phone numbers instead of their home phone because they say, oh, well, you know, you can't get my address off of this or whatever else. I mean, you can. It just was a little harder, you know?
Right. But we have a pretty good system set up right now, at least in the conceptual designs. The database is set up, it should be noted. We just haven't really streamlined the data acquisition part of it.
Yeah.
But it's all going to be based on the honor, or not really honor system, but on a trust level system. There won't really be moderators in so much that we don't ever decide who's a moderator, but people who submit more verified data will gain a higher trust level, and effectively their vote will count for more when they vote against something. So if they say,
exactly,
like, that's not the number to the back door of the sex line, you know, obviously their vote will have more weight. And
somebody who says it is, exactly.
Right, because like, they're wrong, and, you know, I mean, we have a couple other ways. We have, since disconnected numbers don't authorize, or don't supervise, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're actually going to probably verify all the disconnected numbers. Like, when somebody puts a flag on a number and says, hey, this number's been disconnected, we'll just call it with asterisks. And, you know, I mean, if it is a disconnected number, we were not going to get charged for it.
Exactly.
You know, we'll have to watch that, too. We'll have to make sure that users don't abuse that.
All right, so wait, is Lucky back yet?
No.
Yeah, I'm right here. I was unable to contact our guest.
Okay, no contact.
I hope Knot Theory is going to be coming back here shortly.
Yeah, I mean, he said 5 minutes. It's been like 10 minutes. I really would like to take some calls, and it's going to take us, you know, a minute under the light to get the number out there.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But no, definitely, the phonebook.org project, I think it's going to, if we get enough users at the base, but I mean, like, look at news sites like Slashdot, that's 100% user contributation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this phonebook database, it's going to really, going to change a lot of things. Because I'm not just talking about directory information. I'm talking about everything.
Yeah, this is shit that you can't get on the directory.
There are approximately 3 billion phone numbers that are currently assignable.
And what's even in the largest directory, I think there's maybe 100 million numbers in it.
Right, right. And I anticipate actually having 100 million numbers probably inside of 3 months. I have about 500,000 numbers right now in my own personal database. And
yeah,
a lot of them are just stupid shit. I mean, like, I know, Dakota, you follow exchanges of nothing but busies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, while it may not seem to serve a purpose, it's still as just raw data, as information. It's something nice to know.
Right.
It's like, hey, this particular area code and exchange, the whole fucking thing is busies or reorgs.
Right. Right. And you know, initially this should be aimed at mostly freaks and geeks, but you know, hopefully it'll become like kind of the category killer of phone books. This is really what we're trying to do. Is just make a totally free, open phone book. That, you know, none of the data is copywritten, which is the problem with all the currently existing phone books, is all the data is effectively owned.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
And it's time to get rid of that, you know.
It is. Indeed, it's time to get rid of it. Now, fuck, man, Knot Theory ain't here to fucking take the calls.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, this is a bunch of bullshit. We're going to have to go back old school, man.
No, if we can't, all right, here's the thing. We wanted to take call-ins on a call-in line. All right, but apparently if Knot Theory doesn't show up, we got 15 minutes before we got to fucking jet out of here. More likely 10 because,
right,
we got to play music. Where's Doug at? Where's our engineer? Doug, get your ass on the line, bro.
He dropped for a while, too.
Yeah, Doug, get on the fucking line.
The ship has no captain.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, he's streaming right now to essentially 3 fucking servers because, Rant Radio at 24 and 64, and then, of course, DDP Hack Radio at 24K, so.
Man, we're on autopilot, and we're going towards the building right now.
Yeah, we're heading nosediving towards the ground, baby.
Yeah, we've got about 15 minutes before we hit, and I hope that,
all right, well,
yeah.
Well, while Doug fucking takes a sweet-ass time getting on here, because I got a question for him, I guess we're going to talk about fucking IDT. I got this article from fucking Havoc. And Newark, New Jersey, April 22nd, 2004. Of course, Newark, everything happens there. IDT Corporation today announced plans to deploy the first commercial Wi-Fi phone service in the U.S. IDT's Wi-Fi phone service will allow users to bypass local phone companies and make domestic and international phone calls via a wireless connection to the Internet. IDT plans to initially roll out the Wi-Fi service in select areas of the Ironbound section of Newark. It's a fucking horrible, horrible place, man. If you've never been to Newark, New Jersey, man, just don't ever want to go there. Anyway, this initial development will provide research to help IDT develop a new service as it is rolled out in other areas. The new phone service will utilize Net2Phone's innovative Voice over Internet Protocol, or VoIP, platform. IDT Corporation New York Stock Exchange, IDT, and IDT.C, is a multinational carrier telephone and technology company. And it's April 5th issue. I sure as shit hope that's not theory.
No, it's actually Doug. Sorry to disappoint you.
Fucker. Doug, what's the name of that show with Regan Walker coming up on Rant Radio after this?
Is it Reagan or Regan? Or?
I don't know.
All right, Shoutbox is what the name of the show is.
All right, Shoutbox, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. I couldn't remember
Shoutbox.
It. I thought it was that, but I couldn't remember it. So, yeah, Shoutbox is what's coming up fucking after this at what time is it, Pacific? 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll continue. Fortune Magazine placed IDT 746th in its ranking of America's top 1,000 companies. Based upon results from last quarter, IDT had an annualized revenue rate of more than $2 billion. And blah, 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 Wi-Fi phone customers will not need their own expensive broadband connection to access the service. IDT will provide wide-area Wi-Fi coverage in the targeted neighborhoods. Calls will be routed via net-to-phone's VoIP platform and terminated by IDT's worldwide telecommunications network and infrastructure, IDT Business Services, fixed wireless network, will provide backhaul services for the traffic. IDT is currently deploying its initial network and expects to begin service in Newark within 30 to 60 days. Why Newark, man? I mean, what the fuck?
Man, everything happens in New Jersey.
I'm telling you, you know, all the traffic on the internet.
Isn't that where they started their caller ID?
That was where customer caller ID in the late 80s, 88, I think it was, originally was tested. Back then, it was simply using ANI. There was no way to block it. We've discussed this before. Stuttered in fucking New Jersey.
Yeah.
But yeah, well,
there were a couple test markets for that other than New Jersey as well.
But it started originally. The first
right.
test market was New Jersey. That's where it started. And that was a long fucking time. 15 years ago, man, is when they started that shit. And you know, I think we discussed this before, Lucky, how it came to be that caller ID was blockable. Was that the ACLU had a big problem with that shit and privacy concerns.
Yeah.
And they developed an entirely different way of delivering the number rather than just straight ANI.
Protocol.
Yeah,
there's no idea. Motherfucker can go get himself a VoIP dial-in and pull any off.
And, well, yeah, of course. There's ways now to do these things. But I'm talking about, you know, when it was first implemented, they developed an entirely different protocol in order to ensure that it was a blockable service.
Yeah, I'm surprised the ACLU isn't bitching about blocking Annie or something, you know.
They should be, but I mean, there's I don't know. It's hard to get into. People don't – a lot of entities don't realize that customers have the ability – residential customers and customers of a lot of different services have the ability to pull ANI information.
Yeah. Well,
blocking your call already doesn't do shit.
The VoIP world is really changing things quickly.
Yeah, VoIP is definitely changing things.
It used to be you pretty much had to go the route of ISDN primary, right, which is fairly expensive and was more expensive back in the day in order to really be able to do that. But now, you know, I mean, $10 a month, you have an incoming line to pull nanny. That's pretty retarded.
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah, so this is it. IDT is doing some crazy stuff in fucking Newark.
Yeah, well, I want to trust my phone on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Connection on Wi-Fi. I'm not going to trust using a phone on Wi-Fi.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's fucking weird.
I wondered how long it was going to take them before they started to roll out a test bed of that. I was thinking about using my Sharp Zoys. The problem with it is the battery life would be horrible for trying to use it as a cell phone.
Maybe you can probably
get a couple of hours, but that's not enough. But on the Seattle Wireless Project.
Not theory.
Yo, what's up?
All right, we got like 5 minutes left. Right now, we're fucking taking call-ins. You out there, you want to call up, you got a question, you got a fucking comment, you want to say something to us, you want to yell at Not Theory for waiting until the last minute, 810-223-0003 is the number. While you're waiting, you're going to hear music on hold or Tool on hold.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to hear. So you want to call up, you want to say shit to us, 810-223-0003. The lines are fucking open. We want you to call in. You better hurry up and do it because we only got a few minutes left.
Can we own your
day? It's that late already.
Dude, it's 10 to 11.
Oh, man, I just downed 3 pints, so.
Yeah, you know what the thing is, Not Theory, is that here on Rant, we only got an hour, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I haven't decided. We might go longer. So, as a matter of fact, you know what? We're going to go longer tonight. So, for the listeners out there on Rant Radio, we're going to go for a little extra. And if you want to fucking check that out, just go to our website, which I forgot to say at the beginning of the show, which is defaultradio.fucking.com.
Hello?
Who just called in?
This is Arlene.
Hey, Arlene. How you doing?
Hey. Is it just you and I?
No,
somebody else here.
You're on a radio show right now. Whoa, we're owned.
Is that...
we got owned, Decoder.
Is that Kim?
Who else is on the line with us?
Well, is this the phone company, or who's calling in?
It's Arlene, dude. She's not with the phone company.
Yeah, who's Arlene? Is she with the phone company, or are you a private caller?
No, she's with CP.
She's with who?
I'm with Verizon.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. This is the best rant radio show ever.
Who's that talking?
Well, we were using this bridge for an internet radio show right now. We didn't expect any telco people to be coming on at this hour.
Or internet radio show.
Yeah, we were actually just about to leave, so I guess we'll release the call so you guys can have your conference. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We just we came across this conference number a while ago. We didn't realize that the telco still used it.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have the bridge. Well, actually, I had the bridge starting at 10 o'clock.
Oh, really? I didn't know you guys went that late.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was only business hours. Okay, well, we'll release this bridge to you now.
Okay, we appreciate that.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Okay, who's there, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, who was there?
We dialed in to an internet radio show?
Internet radio? Bridge?
They got our bridge number. They're scanning bridge number.